Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's April Fool's Day. That's April 1st, 2019. Well, the biggest fool out there, at least at this point, is AOC, but we'll save her for another show. Right now, it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review, and the date we're reviewing, the month we're reviewing, is March 2019, last month. And Mickey, welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Carrie.
Hey, I should mention before we get into it, you can find Mickey's work over at mercenarygeologist.com. Mickey and I have been doing this now for close to, we've been doing it for over 7 years. So this is our eighth year, and there's really no other review out there quite like this. Any questions or comments, just email me, kl@carrielutz.com. So, Mickey, kind of slow month on Wall Street, up a little bit, but nothing resounding there.
Yeah, after the big run-up in the first couple of months of the year, the markets were up and down over the course of the month. There's some concern with overall world economy. Dow closed at 25,927 for a 0% change, but it still had the best quarter in 6 years at 11% gain Q1. It was flat. I think really it was affected by the debacle going on at Boeing. Meanwhile, S&P 500 and NASDAQ both had strong performances over the month. S&P 500, 2834, up almost 2% on the month, up 13% on the quarter, highest in 10 years. And the NASDAQ had a very good month, up 2.6%, closed at 77.29. Gary, that's a 16.5% gain on the quarter. That's the best in 21 years.
Wow.
Meanwhile, I am concerned with small business in the U.S. Russell 2000, despite the rest of the markets doing quite well, lost 2.2% over the month, closed at 1540. But that said, it still had a very good quarter, up 14% so far this year.
Yeah, pretty good. So let's
Not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Impressive. And like you said, Boeing, that definitely brought down the Dow for sure.
Yeah.
Probably a temporary issue. God forbid another one goes down, but probably they have the situation fixed. They found it was a sensor combined with a faulty software system that brought these planes down. So should be remedied shortly. So let's look at our foreign markets now.
Yeah, I'll make a comment on that. Let's put this into perspective. There are 1,000 people that die, more than 1,000 people a day that die in car wrecks in the U.S. And so this whole thing where a couple of planes go down is, I think that puts it into perspective. Anyway, enough editorializing on that. The Canucks are doing okay so far this year, despite a softening economy. They did not do well, as we both know, last year. Toronto Stock Exchange closed at 16,102, up 0.6% on the month, over 12% on the quarter. Nice gain. The Venture Exchange, the junior resource sector, had a very nice gain. So far in the first quarter, up 12.5%, closed at 627, up 3 points on a month. But realize we're still in a bear market. The days of the Toronto Venture Exchange at 3,500 or even 2,400 appear to be long gone, with the index sitting in the 600s.
In the doghouse.
Yeah. And the emerging market index was basically flat at 1058, up 7 points in a month. But it also turned in a very nice quarter, up 9.5%, despite slowing Chinese economy. The VIX came down toward the end of the month, finished below 14 at 13.72. But we did not see a lot of volatility through the course of the month.
No, that's for sure. So the VIX, yeah, it's been kind of getting more and more calm, more and more complacent. So let's take a look at our money stats here. The dollar, how do we do in the dollar?
Well, the dollar had a volatile month, but it ended up significantly up 97.2. It vacillated, say, between 96 and 97.5, seemingly on a every day or two basis. But that game was 1.1% on the quarter, 1.1% on the month. It really is the best of a bad lot with a weak euro, weak German economy, this whole Brexit debacle and that cloud hanging over not only the euro, but the British pound. I would submit that's why the dollar was up last couple of days of last week at the end of the month. Euro closed at 1.12. Down 1.1% on the month, it's over 2% on the quarter. Huge. Meanwhile, we mentioned a weaker economy, and certainly worldwide, and I think we're starting to see that a bit in the U.S. Pundits, economists are making a big deal that the yield curve inverted. It's now been inverted for something on the order of 7 days. If you look at the 3 months, Treasury bill interest rate, it's higher than the 10-year. This is generally thought to be a foreshadow of a recession coming, although those recessions usually happen 9 months to a year and a half out from the yield curve inverting. You know, really, this is caused by the Fed, in my opinion, Kerry. You know, it must be bedlam over there. I have no idea what goes on at the Fed. And I mean bedlam as in the insane asylum at New York with a capital B, where the term bedlam came from. But my gosh, you know, Powell gets up in December and says, we're going to have 4 interest rate increases in 2019. And in mid-March, he comes out and starts talking about an interest rate rollback.
Just kidding.
In 2019. We're so just here's kidding. To Stephen Moore, if he gets nominated and elected to the Fed, to a good economist to should bring some sanity to that group of entrenched New York and D.C. bankers and bureaucrats.
They're fighting him tooth and nail. They really don't want him there.
Oh, I know, Kerry. It does not look good for him.
They're saying, oh, you owe taxes, but he's overpaid his taxes. He accidentally deducted child support on his returns, and, you know, which you're obviously not allowed to do even under the old tax rules. You are not allowed to do. So then they disallowed his deduction for alimony, which he definitely is entitled to. And from this, we have a scandal, Mickey. Anyway, it's Washington, anyway, D.C. games as usual, yeah. Right?
He doesn't have a PhD from an Ivy League school in economy from Harvard or wherever. So that disqualifies
him. And he's a Trump supporter. Don't forget that. Yeah. So he's
and
dead
he's a
man
supply
walking.
Side economist who tends toward the Austrian side. You know, I know Stephen Moore from the New Orleans Conference. I've shared the dais with him at times and seen him in the green room before we give our respective speeches. And, you know, I kind of like what the
guy says
about the economy. He's a good guy as far as I know.
By all accounts, a good guy. And I've met him too on a few Freedom Fests. He is a libertarian at heart. But, you know, you got to be pragmatic, right? You know, libertarianism is just not going to take the world by storm. Before we get into energy, Mickey, what about Bitcoin? It's coming back. It's over 4,000, right?
Well, it actually looks like it's bottomed, at least temporarily. I don't see it going to zero, as you've been predicting, anytime soon. It closed at 4,076, up 7% on the month and 10.5% on the quarter. And so that's 2 months in a row that Bitcoin's up. Here's kind of what I'm seeing. Wrongly, I think, some people tend to flee to Bitcoin, much as they do to the U.S. dollar and gold as a safe haven. So when things get a little iffy, it seems like some people want to come in and buy Bitcoin.
Yeah, well, my theory is still the same. I still think it's going to break to 2000. I don't believe it's bottomed out yet, but the market will tell us if we're right or wrong. Look, I was right about Bitcoin for the past almost 2 years, year and a half. I think I'm going to be right about it in the long run, but we'll just have to see. So let's go on to our metals, a rather lackluster performance all the way across the board here.
Well, yeah, it was not a particularly good month for the metals. Yeah, gold was up and down across the month. It went as high, I think, as 1330 or thereabouts, as low as 1290. And it was really dependent on two things. Interest rates. As interest rates went down, gold went up, as we would expect. But the other factor was the U.S. dollar. And we had this big rally in the dollar toward the end of that last week, and it knocked gold down $22 on Thursday. So anyway, it finished toward the low end of its current range at 1292, down 1.6% from 1311 on the month. Eked out a small gain. It's up less than 1% this year so far. Silver struggled to maintain at $15 ticker. I closed at 1509. It never got below 15 over the month. No one cares about silver except the silver bugs, and we'll leave it there. Platinum was stronger. It looks like it bottomed in the below 800 a couple of months ago, closed at 847. After platinum made a rally last month, it came off a bit for a 2.5% loss, but it does look like it's bottomed once it went below 800, closed up almost 7% on the quarter. And as we predicted, we didn't know when it was going to happen, but palladium went parabolic last week. And one day it went from 1585 to 1325. So, you know, we said this was driven by pure speculation, although it's backed by strong fundamentals. Closed the month at 1364, down 10%, but it's still up 9% over the quarter. But the Bloom certainly come off that rose with futures tanking. What would it be? 3 month out futures are just tanked in June. So looks to me like this run is over.
Runs over, huh?
I think so. We'll see. And then copper closed down a couple of pennies, but still within its range at 294, down 2 cents on the month, but it's had a very nice quarter, 8% up. It really is dependent on trade tariff talks. So as the wind blows with news and rumor on that end, copper goes up. It can go up 3 or 4 or 5 cents and drop an equal amount in over the course of a day.
Yeah, it's been pretty volatile lately, but the fact is the supply dynamics of copper over the long term, China is responsible for over half of its consumption, favors a higher copper price in the long run. But how long a run is really the question.
Well, Kerry, it really just depends on this trade tariff stuff. As soon as that happens, copper's gonna soar, basically because the supply-demand fundamentals are so compelling right now.
Yep, they certainly are, that for sure. So let's move on to our energy, which was a good month for energy prices, at least for oil. The others, not so good.
Well, oil had a very nice month. It's torn by a variety of competing geopolitical factors, but the demand remains very strong. We're now up over 100 million barrels a day. That would include oil and natural gas liquids, condensate at all. But oil closed at 60.18. for a 5% gain on the month, up a whopping 32% on the year, but realize it dropped 38% in Q4 of 2018. Yes. Brent followed suit, closed at $67.58, again up over 2% on the quarter and nearly 2% on the month and 30% on the quarter. Henry Hub dropped a dime as the heating season is ending in the Northeast tier of states, close at 271, down 3.5% on the month, down almost 8% on the quarter. Carrie, there's just too much supply of gas in the U.S. And, you know, so here's my solution. Everybody drilling shale wells in the Permian Basin needs to go on a regimen of Beano.
Well, that might just do the trick, but there's so many shut-in wells, Mickey, like, what are we going to do? There's thousands of shut-in wells.
Those are called ducts for the most part. Drilled and uncompleted. But the problem is when you produce oil in any of these shale basins, you're going to get gas to go along with it. So it is what it is. U.S. oil market continues. Production is at an all-time record of 12.1 million barrels a day. Rigs have come off significantly, drill rigs, over the last couple of weeks. But, if we can find a way to get this oil to market, that's the real problem right now. Enough pipelines. And meanwhile, uranium had a very bad month. It broke down from that 29 plus or minus level, closed below 25 bucks, 24.88, down 10% on the quarter, 13% on the year. And my sources tell me one of the reasons this is happening is that Cameco has not bought any uranium on the spot market this year. And they have 11 to 12 million pounds of unfilled contracts. So it looks to me like they are trying to arbitrage by not buying uranium when they have to buy it at some point for deliveries in 2019. Arbitrage that price and come in and buy it when it's low and sell it into their higher contracts. We'll see if that plays out. And we will see in the next couple of weeks the Section 232 national security domestic uranium mining issue is scheduled to be ruled on by the Department of Commerce. And everybody expects that to be positive for domestic uranium mining companies.
So we import 98% of our country's uranium needs from other countries. So I guess they want to see that change.
Well, and especially want to see that change because 40% of those imports come from Russia, Kazakhstan, and Uzbekistan, three countries that I would not say are friendly, stable, or above board with their governments.
Yeah, definitely not. So hey, sooner we get production back in the U.S., the better. I just wonder what's going to happen with the properties that went to Uranium One, whether they're going to be expropriated or condemned or whatever, but something's going to happen.
In terms of annual production, it is significant when the U.S. uranium producers are economic. It amounted, and the deal was done, amounted to about one-fifth of domestic production, somewhere around 1 million pounds a year in the Powder River Basin of Wyoming. But it really is of concern that we would have the Russians controlling one-fifth of our uranium production.
Yeah, not a bright move. So let's just move to our ratios and the ones of note, the gold to silver ratio back up.
Well, above 80 for the eighth month in a row, and it's actually finished the month at 85.6. This is pretty rare territory, as we've talked before, and silver just can't get a bid right now, and that's the main reason. If the price of gold starts going up, we would expect silver, given this ratio, to perform much better, as it always does in terms of volatility, either on the upside or downside. And finally, the other ratio would be platinum and palladium. We wanted to mention that this month because it recovered off its all-time low. It actually hit 0.57 intra-month, but it made nice recovery as the palladium price came off much faster than the platinum price did. Yeah,
very true. Well, that is it for March 2019. Mickey, we'll just have to see how these trends continue into April, because we're getting pretty close to May, at which time it's certainly been true for a number of years. Best thing to do is sell and go away in May, right?
Well, that's the Wall Street maxim, if you will, sell in May and go away for the summer. Some months that works, some years that works, and some years it doesn't. It's not something that I pay much attention to. You know, when profits are there to be taken, you can never go wrong by taking profits in the stock market, Gary.
That's for sure. Just because something has happened before does not automatically mean it's going to happen again and again and again. It's a nice maxim, but it really isn't a substitute for critical thought. Anyway, go check out Mickey's work at mercenarygeologist.com, Twitter feed at mercenarygeo. Check us out as well, Financial Survival Network, and Twitter feed at Kerry Lutz. Mickey, we will catch up with you again next month.
Yeah, Kerry, we will. And I want to give a shout out to our friends at Kitco. They now are posting this interview, and it'll be up in Kitco as an alternative way to look at it, or listen to it, pardon me, for about the next week. And we appreciate those guys.
Yes, we do. Hats off to Kitco. Mickey, we'll talk to you next month.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kerry.